We want you to go in your Bible to Luke chapter 11, and we're having the reading of the Word of God, verse 1 to 13. And Ardith is going to come and read the Word of God. Ardith, what page we got in that beautiful Bible? 735. If you haven't got a Bible, pull a Bible out and read the Bible. Check it out, Luke 11. And the good news is that as Ardith reads, I'm going to give you this mic here.
Thank you.
The good news is we're going to ask you to stand for the reading of the Word of God.
Good morning, all.
Good morning.
And today we're going to hear what Jesus, our Savior, has to say about praying and about prayer. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just like John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything." I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet, because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will he give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good things, good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Thank you.
Thank you. Just put on the piano. Wow. Thanks for reading the Word of God. And just while we get our attention here, let's ask our Lord to bless us as we go to Him in prayer at this time. Father, as we speak today, I ask that I'd represent you well by the Word of God. Guard each of us, Lord, from taking mental journeys that break down concentration. Let us be quiet before you, sensitive to what you are telling us. But I add to that, Lord, let us say hallelujah and amen if the Spirit of God gives our hearts affirmation to what is being preached. But give understanding to each one here now exposed by your word. Touch us by your Spirit. And let us see you, never the one speaking. May they forget my opinions, but I pray each who hears the Word of God would realize they're now responsible. So point us today to truths that will change us into your image. Give us obedient hearts to your will. We read, the entrance of your words brings light. So pour light into our heart and souls. Lord, let your face shine on us today and give us your favor through Jesus Christ, our wonderful, wonderful Lord. Amen. Well, you and I are part of the biggest operation that the universe has ever seen. You and I are, we have the most awesome of relationships ever known to mankind, to have a personal walk with God. The question I pose to you is this: what would enhance our relationship with God? What are the things that God has ordained that would enhance our relationship with Him? It's, number one, the Word of God, and number two, it's prayer. And if you have John 15:7 open, look at that verse. Follow me, please. If you know it was page 735 in your Bible, it's probably just a few verses up from that. But John 15, verse 7, or a few pages up, about 764, 765. John 15, verse 7, this brings together the two means of grace that God uses that we will keep our part of the bargain. Now, God will do his part of the bargain. You don't have to worry about that. But Jude 21 and other passages says, keep yourself in the love of Jesus. That's your responsibility, to keep yourself in the love of Jesus. And worship like this is all part and parcel of it, but it's the Word of God and prayer. And so in John 15:7, Jesus said, if you remain in me, and my words, that's the Word of God, remain in you, whatever you wish, ask, it says, it'll be given you. So you have the Word of God and you have asking. Well, I'm preaching today on a call to prayer, asking you to do your responsibility in showing your love to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to say to Peter three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? How long does he have to say that to you? Do you love Jesus? Do you tell him you love him? A wife needs to hear every day, I love you. A husband needs to hear every day, I love you. God needs to hear every hour, I love you. I love you, Lord, because he loved us so much. So the message is on a call to prayer. I was wondering if anybody here studies the Word of God. And just indicate that, a few of you. Yeah, a few of you. Do any of you here spend as much time in prayer as you do in the Word of God? You see, it's easier to study the Bible and devotional books than it is to pray. I encourage you to talk to your Savior. And that's what this message is kind of all about today. But it's good to have chunks of time in the Word, but it's good to have chunks of time in the closet. And the problem is, we take 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that says, pray without ceasing, and we say, I say, how long do you pray? And you say, well, you know, I pray kind of throughout the day as life kind of calls on me. I send a quick prayer up to God, and that seems to do the job. It didn't do the job for Jesus, did it? He had to go all nights in prayer. He prayed at his baptism. At a crisis coming, he went to the mountain to pray. He prayed in the garden so long the disciples went to sleep. I want to ask if you would spend some time with God in prayer. Big chunks. And don't rationalize it out by saying we're to pray without ceasing. God wants you to spend some time with him because it takes time to gaze on his face. Prayer is personal communication with God. It's pouring out our spirit to God. It's telling him what life is all about at this moment for us. You see, Jesus showed his disciples how to pray. So then they saw that and they said, teach us to pray. So in Luke 18:1, he says, men ought always to pray and not give up. What's Jesus' answer for giving up? Pray, 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 and you won't give up. God will put that power into you. By prayer, you get to know God. So God calls us to pray. Prayer happens when we adore God, when we worship Him. In other words, if you were praying today, that is, if you were singing today, you were praying to God. I saw many lips not moving. You had a chance to pray to God. You had a chance to say to Him, meet with me. You had a chance to say, our God is so big. That was praying. We don't say, now we'll go to prayer. If we do that, it's my mistake. Because worship is prayer. In other words, praising is prayer. Confessing is prayer. When you confess your sins before God, it's prayer. When you thank Him, it's prayer. When you pray for someone else, it's prayer. Stuart Briscoe, who spoke here in this pulpit at the convention, I believe, a number of years ago, he teaches children how to pray. And he says, teach them three types of prayer. Please prayers, thank you prayers, and sorry prayers. Why does God, why do you want us to pray and really put ourselves into it? And by the way, it is important when you pray that God knows that you're praying, okay? It's important when you pray to let God know that you really mean business with Him. That's why James 5 and 16 says, the effectual, the fervent prayer of a righteous person desires much. So I said to Sam, hey there, girl, I love you. Or I can say, I really love you, Sandy. I love you. I love you. It means a bit different, doesn't it? At the altar, Robin, you're going to marry here in a couple weeks, and you're going to, the groom's going to look in his girl in the eye and say, hey, I love you. You know, his bride. No. We are the bride of Christ. You need to look, those brides look their groom in the eye and they say, I love you. I love you. Weddings are beautiful. But there's a wedding, an eternal wedding taking place. There's going to be a great marriage supper of the Lamb. We are the bride of Christ. We're to tell God we love Him with fervency. Oh, we don't pray so God can find out what we're thinking and what we need. Because Matthew 6:8, Jesus said, your Father knows you have needed these things before you ask Him. So why do you want us to pray? Well, let me put it this way. God wants us to pray because prayer expresses our trust in God, and it increases our faith. It expresses our trust in God. So the primary emphasis on the Bible and its teaching on prayer is that we pray with faith, meaning trust or dependence on God. An attitude of dependence on God is so appropriate for the father and the child relationship that we have. Prayer is saying, I am weak, but He is strong. So prayer indicates, I'm convinced that God is wiser and He's more powerful than any other. I'm convinced of that. That's why I pray to God. He is the only God. But I don't want to spend my time praying to some person who has no ability to see tomorrow, no ability to keep me today, no ability in any respect. What are the words of the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, at least in the Matthew portion, a little different than Luke, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So our Father who is in heaven, that is saying we acknowledge our dependence on God as a loving and faithful Father. So much so, we come in prayer depending on Him, because He rules over all of creation from heaven. There's a rulership taking place right now. So you and I are part of the greatest thing that could ever happen to this human race. And it's happening right now. Jesus is building His church. These are the headlines that'll be for eternity. That God worked last Sunday afternoon in the man's heart down there. I won't mention his name. When he gave his heart to Christ at 3:30, yes, last Sunday afternoon. Those are headlines for Christ. You see, the world, it's veiled to them. They can't see the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians 4:4, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to those who are lost. If they could see, CBC Radio would be here this morning, and they would be zeroing in. Look at this, is done for eternity. I want to tell you, it's done by prayer, though, the power of God. So the first reason that we pray is to show our dependence on God, not on us. And again, it's easier to read the Word of God. It's easier to read books of the Bible. It's easier to listen to sermons than it is to get down on your knees and pray. But when you're down on your knees and praying, a lot of neat stuff happens. And miracles are done. And divine work is done. So another reason we pray is because we're involved in that big kingdom. And prayer kind of makes the kingdom roll. And lack of prayer kind of drives it to a halt. So, but secondly, God loves us so much, He wants to have fellowship with us. Isn't that neat? If you love someone, you want to spend some time together with them. So we were created to know God, to enjoy Him, and conversation enhances that relationship. If you get a husband and wife and they never talk to each other, that's sure recipe for divorce. So maybe a little marriage advice. But the marriage is between us and Jesus. He wants the bride to talk to Him. And so much so, He commands us. In Jeremiah 33, He says, call unto me. It's in the imperative. Call unto me, He said. Talk to me, and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things. God loves us so much. He delights in our fellowship. In Proverbs 15:8 says, I delight in prayer. He delights in prayer. He just loves me to talk to Him. So are we the talkers? Or is it a mute relationship that God has with you? You're mute. You let God talk all the time when you read the Word in your devotions. But you really haven't got time for Almighty God, because you're wise enough for yourself, aren't you? You're rich enough yourself, aren't you? You're educated enough yourself, aren't you? You've got it all together. You know how church should work, and so you sit in the judgment seat. Some of you know more than pastors know. Some of you should go to Bible college and teach there because you know so much more. God knows that we know nothing. And, you know, and some of you will say that to me when I talk about prayer. I was in a store, and I was witnessing to a chap, and I said to him something about prayer and needed to pray, and he says, well, God will work, and he said, but we can do some things where we don't need God. We can do some things we don't need God. We don't need to pray to God about everything, although Philippians 4 tells us that. And you see, what happens is Jesus said, without me you can do what? Nothing. Your education, you can do nothing. You need God. You need God. So some of the reasons for that. Now I want to take you to, I think prayer is kind of like putting my little hand into the hand of God. Putting my little hand or my little hands into the hands of God, who His hand is almighty. Okay? His hand is almighty. A brother called me up a week ago, and he said, I'd like to go out for coffee. So we hit Serious Coffee, where you have a serious cup of coffee. We're sitting there, and all these tables are there, and people around us, and we're only a couple feet from the counter where the chap is serving. And there was kind of a lull in the action, and no one was serving there, but there was some people there. And it turns out the brother never told me what he was going to do. But we had the visit, and then I said, well, hey, take care, eh? And what he did was he grabbed my hands on top of the table, and he started praying. And, you know, I didn't feel too good for that moment. I was kind of knew that the waiter was looking at me and all this, you know, and he prayed this neat prayer, amen. I said, amen. So I will sit on my hands every time I go out for a coffee with a man from now on. The waiter wanted to know what side I'm playing on, you know, what team am I playing on, you know. Oh, is that your friend? Anyhow, I'm married here for some of you who just woke up. But you know, he gave me an idea that day, because the prayer that he prayed was this. God, make your face to shine upon Randy. Go to Psalm 27, verse 8. That's our text this morning. Psalm 27, verse 8. That hit the middle of the Bible. It's right there. Psalm 27, verse 8. Wow, this is a neat verse. The King James has it best, but the NIV's not far behind. Psalm 27, verse 8. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. The Hebrew literal has in it, God is saying to David, seek my face. And David saying, Lord, your face I will seek. Seek my face, Lord. Lord says, seek my face. And David says, right away, Lord, I will seek your face. I will seek your face. All through Scripture, prayer is seeking God's face. What do you think God looks like? What do you think God looks like? When you come to him, is he happy? Is he compassionate? Is he loving? Is he stern? Watching down there. You do this, you're in trouble. What kind of a father and the face does God really have? Face tells a lot, doesn't it? I told you this one time before, but I was over at the park having my lunch, and I was sitting there at the table, and there was a bunch of kids playing around there, and their mother, and 5-year-old, 7-year-old, 9, something like that, you know. And I was sitting myself, I'm going to ask those kids to come to Sunday school, come to church. I think maybe I'll ask the mother. So I was looking at it, about from here to the first pew. Next thing you know, she started walking toward me. I thought, well, boy, I can ask her for sure. And she said, sir, I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I've been watching you. She says, you look so sad. Can I help you? What is God's face like? When you go to him, you think God is sad? Can God be sad? No. What's God's face like? God says to David, seek my face. Get to know me, what I really am like. Don't listen to those who think they know God and they describe God like this when they don't know God and they've never seen his face. By the way, Jesus said in John 14:9, if you've seen my face, you've seen the face of the Father. If you see me, you've seen the Father. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Seeking God's face. God, what do you look like? Well, look at Psalm 27, verse 7, the verse before. David says, hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. And God says, seek my face. God's face is a merciful face. Are you in need of the mercy of God today to forgive you, to cleanse you? You come to God and he has a merciful face, a face full of mercy. One of the great blessings of the Christian church is Numbers 6, 24, 26. You hear preachers all over land quoting that, either from the King James or from the NIV, but it just says, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, the Lord be gracious to you, the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. His face is full of grace, and his face is full of peace. And he wants to give you grace, not just that you become a Christian, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But Ephesians says, we are in the grace wherein we stand. This is our standing with God. He deals with us through Jesus, through the face of Christ. He deals with us in grace. He loves to forgive you. He loves to extend his grace when you blow it. He loves us with an everlasting love. And his face says it. If we will seek his face, that's the God you'll find in prayer. You won't find the stern God. You won't find the legalistic God. You'll find the true God who was evidenced in Jesus Christ. There's a call that God would like to make upon your life today. And it's in 2 Chronicles 7:14, and it's got a conditional clause. God would like to heal our church. We've had a fallen pastor. God would like to send the Spirit of God and heal us. He would like to revive us and make us powerful people in his hands today. But in 2 Chronicles 7:14 it says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and what? Seek my face. Then I'll hear from heaven. I'll come. I'll forgive your sins. I'll heal your land. We're not talking about one sin. We're talking about many of us who are in the condemnation seat today and some who are gossiping and spreading tales and doubling things and talking about it so much that you're partaking in evil. God is asking you to pray and to turn from your evil and get your eyes on God, not on any situation or in any man or in any church. Will the people of God in Campbell River pray for revival? The formula for revival is praying. So God's face is a healing face, a forgiving face to all who fall. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, it says he will not be cast down because the Lord upholds him with his hand. God forgives. God loves us. Do you know what God's face looks like? Get to know me. God says, receive my joy and my peace. You know, God also wants you and I to pray according to his will, not just our will. We bring to God our will, and we say, please, God. And many times we don't get what we want. But you remember I said why we came to God in the first place? Because he's wiser than our prayers. His love wants the best for us. His wisdom knows the best for us. His power will carry out the best for us. Are any of you here with me this morning and you're glad that God didn't answer some of your prayers? Aren't you glad God didn't answer some of your prayers? I won't whisper her name, but I still remember it. But I am happy that God did not give me Jay to marry, because I asked him and he said no, and I met Sandy. I am so happy. Yeah. But God knew, didn't he? But Jay was there. And I said, God, she's the one. God said no. One of the divines of our day says, if the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If the answer is no, God says grow. But if the answer is yes, he says go. John put it this way. And John, you know, John knew the power of God in his life. John's life was changed. And that's why we come to the throne of grace, to God's face, because his face wants to change us into his face. And John was changed. John was a man with temper, and he had an awful temper. And James had an awful temper. They were Baptists to the 10th degree, or the 100th degree. They saw these poor Pentecostals preaching in the name of Christ, and they didn't seem to believe as they believed. And they even wanted Jesus to make them like Baptists. Would have been a sad answer to prayer, wouldn't it? Jesus says, you know not of what spirit you are. Like, I mean, I'm not kidding you. In Luke 9, John and James really wanted God to bring fire down from heaven on a people who didn't believe as they did. Okay? I just threw in the Baptist stuff, as we're having to be in a Baptist church, you know. They had to learn to grow. And John became the most loving apostle in the world because he saw the face of Christ. And he grew in Jesus. Don't lose this, though. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know we have the petitions we desired of him. It's God's will that people be saved. We can count on that. It's God's will that you abstain from fornication. But we will seek God's will in this church. And it'll be his will that will be done, even though we will try to come and change as it were the will of God. Now, I just want to give you one more truth. Look at John, Psalm 27 here. And then I'm going to kind of wrap her up here. By the way, when we pray, what are we so often praying for? What are you praying for right now? You're probably praying for a change in circumstances. You're probably praying for a change in this. Change in health, a change in finance, a change in this, okay? But how many of you are praying for a change in character? God wants you to be praying for a change in character. Through all this stuff, he's wanting you to become like Jesus Christ. Hey, Psalm chapter 27:8. God says, seek my face. David says, Lord, I'm going to seek your face right now. You tell me, I'm there. I'm seeking your face. Oh, that we have that obedience in this Baptist church to obey God and seek his face when he calls us to it. Wouldn't that be neat? faithful brother in Christ knows his Bible, said, what can we do for revival? I said, we can pray, pray, pray. I challenge each of you to pray every day. Try a hunk of prayer tomorrow morning. Get up early. Set your alarm. Say, God, I'm going to spend 15 minutes in prayer. I'm going to start praising you. Not the Bible, prayer. Can't get down on your knees, get down your belly like I do. And lay there and pray. And you need to pray all day, too. You can pray in your car, and you don't look like the loony anymore here because of the cell phones, you know. I used to pray out loud, and Satan says, you look like a loony when I'm praying in the car, you know. And she could say that years ago. But now the cell phone's there. You can talk all the time. You can talk at red lights and everything else. God, help me, you know. But I want you to pray. Seek God's face in prayer. Okay, now let's get back to Psalm. And I know I ramble in my sermons. Okay. Psalm 27, verse 9. Don't hide your face from me. Well, guess what? God does hide his face from us. God hides his face from us. And there are five things that causes God's face to be hidden from us. You don't go to it, but you write this down if you want. Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. If I cherish sin, God won't hear me. If you're playing with sin right now, you're playing with something that'll make God's ear turn away from you. If you're a gossip in this church, God is not hearing your prayer. But secondly, in 1 Peter 3:7, God won't hear your prayer, husbands, if you are not honoring your wife. If you're mistreating your wife, your prayers don't even get to that ceiling. 1 Peter 3:7. It says, if you don't honor your wife, your prayers will be hindered. His face will be hidden from you, from sin and 1 Peter 3:7. That is mistreating your wife. Thirdly, you're not forgiving someone. Someone hurts you, and it hurts you deeply. But you are not forgiving this person. God says, even the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those. Matthew 9:13-14. If you don't forgive others their sins, neither will your Father forgive you, because he won't even listen to you. He doesn't like listening to play actors or those who are forgiven themselves before God, but they won't forgive a transgression of someone else. That's why 1,000 people walked the streets in the city of Campbell River who used to be in churches, because they won't forgive someone who hurt them. And they're playing with their soul. I don't even know if they'll get to heaven. They're showing they're not in grace. Forgive others. If my motive is wrong, if my motive is wrong, James says, you have not because you ask not, James 4:3. But it says, then you ask God and you don't get it because you ask in the wrong way, in a selfish way, for me. God answer my prayer for me. I'm the one, Lord, who matters. That turns God's face away from me as well. And then, of course, Proverbs 28:9 says, whoever turns away his ear from hearing the sermon, the law of God, even his prayer will be detestable. So, you know that God's speaking to you in some way, okay? Every Sunday morning, you know somewhere God is speaking to you in some way. And you just turn it and say, no way. Wait a minute. I'll walk out in God. Your prayer now, Proverbs 28:9, is detestable. God doesn't like us to play like that. He wants us to be the real thing. Will the real person stand up and see God's face? He will not turn his face away from you if you will love others as you love yourself, if you'll treat your wife well. The last face verse, of course, is 1 Corinthians 13:12, where it says face to face. Now I know in part, I just know a bit, God. I just can't figure out life myself. I mean, you're throwing passes too high for me. I just can't understand it, God. But I trust in you, Lord. I trust your face. I can trust your face, God. But he says, now I know in part, then shall I know as I'm known today, and it'll be face to face. There's a great old hymn that says, face to face, I shall behold him far above. And it goes on, the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. I want you to see Jesus today in prayer. But you will see him by and by. Will you ask? Will you look at God's face and get the value of prayer that is so, so unlimited? Laying your burdens down. Getting grace and mercy. Seeing his face that says, go on, my son. Go on. Don't give up. Don't give up. Though it seems everything's turning against you, don't give up. Hang in there. Luke 18:1. Pray. Gets the work done for the kingdom. Gives you a lot of power. Acts 4:31 says, when they prayed, the place was shaken together and they were filled with boldness. If I'm not on my knees praying to God, I don't have the boldness to tell someone that Jesus loves them. Hey, let's pray. Father, we're going to sing a great hymn in a moment. And we're thankful for answered prayer that you do give. It's just so neat, Lord, that we can see your face in prayer and see what you really look like. May we realize, Lord, you're full of love. You're full of power, but you're also holy. And we come and pray that we be pure before you. It's a holy face that you have. But it's the all-powerful face, and we're so glad to bow to the will of God. Bless our hearts, Lord, in thy service now. We're weak, but you're strong, Lord. Help us to carry on, Lord, by getting to the throne of grace in prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's just stand together and worship Jesus one more time.
All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the Lord of all.
This morning, over at the coffee shop, there was a young man, and he turned around and said, "Could I just borrow a buck for coffee?" And the man responded by saying, "Go to the till, all of you, and buy whatever you want without price. It's all free." Ephesians 3 says, if you will just pray, it says, "Now unto him, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you will ever ask or think. Ask of me, Psalm 2, I'll give you people for your inheritance. He will give more than you ask if you'll do that in your life. You have the great God, the holy God, the only God. He's with you. He's going to bat for you. He does want to talk to you, though. He's your coach. You got to talk to him. You can't play ball yourself. You need a coach. Even you that know the Word of God, you need a coach. And the Word of God won't do it. You got to have prayer. You got to have prayer. And now I want to pray this on you. All of you here, to his glory and to his honor. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face to shine on you. And the Lord lift up his countenance. He turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, don't go out of here without at least a handshake, someone you don't know or someone around you. Turn around right now. Shake hands. Yeah.